The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Connor Newton here with you on this Friday morning, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We will be joined by the great Jim Diamond later in the program, later this hour at 7:30. We'll get into the all things Nashville Predators with him, maybe a little Siena basketball. Teron Davenport from ESPN will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit as well. We got the Rob Rant later this hour. We got weekend winners coming up. Lots to go here on the program today. We appreciate you being with us. Tough loss, Joe, for the Preds last night. They fall 4-2 to the New Jersey Devils. Jack Hughes, American hero, had a couple of shots that looked like they were his goals. One of them deflected off of Nico Hischier. I think one of them was Jesper Bratt in front. So he actually didn't score at all last night and ended up with two assists on two shots that you thought were actually his that ended up in the net. So interesting stuff from that standpoint. Preds went with Onanen in goal last night, which I thought was interesting. But Justus Onanen made the start. They got a back-to-back coming up this weekend with Montreal and Tampa Bay. So my guess is he'll start one of those two again. My guess is Saros gets tomorrow and Onanen gets Sunday against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But we'll see what that looks like. Look, Preds were down 2-0. They weren't playing great last night by any stretch of the imagination, but they battle back. They get a goal on a breakaway by Reed Schaefer. They get a nice play on the forecheck from Ryan O'Reilly. Evangelista pokes it loose. It ends up on the stick of Steven Stamkos, and he executes the backhand shot to score for his 36th of the year. So it was 2-2 heading into the third period. Joe, I thought it was a game where it had a playoff feel to it from the standpoint of I think there were a few plays in the first and second periods and really even early into the third that could have been called for penalties by both teams that did not get called. And then you get a tripping penalty from Fedor Svechkov that was borderline. I mean, if Svechkov on Jack Hughes. So Jack Hughes is probably going to get that call the majority of the time. A
little star treatment.
A little bit of a star treatment. And then there was a slashing penalty that Matthew Wood took that I just thought was Charmin level soft, particularly at that time in the game and what you had let go prior to that. This is a relatively long clip, but I want to play you just the entirety of Steven Stamkos breaking down.
Seeing you guys battle back and obviously a tough way to finish. What do you make of this one here tonight?
Yeah, frustrating. Just, you know, pisses me off a little bit the way that the game ended on that power play goal. So, you know, I get it. It's tough. You know, the refs call what they see. No matter how much we yell and scream, they're not changing the call once it's made. So, but it's just, you know, it's a 2-2 game. Coming down the wire, you know, they haven't called a lot of penalties in the game. They just gave them a power play, right? We kill it off. And there's, in my opinion, probably no need to call that particular play. But, I mean, it is what it is, and it just sucks with the magnitude of the games and points for us at this time of the year. You know, in saying that, I didn't think we played our best either. I mean, that's a team that we know how they like to play. They got a, you know, obviously an elite top line with some guys that like to, you know, have the puck and make plays with the puck. I didn't think we were hard enough on them and, you know, gave them some time and space, and it bit us. But, you know, we didn't get the start of the first half of the game we wanted. We climb our way back. We fight like we've been doing all year. And then, you know, a penalty with 7 minutes left in the game is tough, especially after we literally just killed one off, right? It's 2-1 in penalties. It's a tight game, but it is what it is, and those things happen. I didn't think we played our best game tonight.
And you mentioned it, just the way the game was played, it felt like there was a lot kind of let go.
Yeah, I mean, it was 2-1 in penalties before that, so it's a game where, you know, you get a feel as the game goes on of how they're going to call the game, and they decided, you know, Jersey doesn't take a lot of penalties. We knew that before the game. We're not going to get a 3, 4, 5 power plays, so, you know, we couldn't afford to take 3 or 4 ourselves. And, you know, we took 2, they took 1. It's just that it sucks to miss out on at least a point in those situations, but, you know, that's the way it is. And, you know, I still have belief in our group that you know, we'll have a better game next game.
The Stamkos upset after the game last night, Joe, just immediately kind of unprompted went into the officiating. So I figured I'd needle him a little bit more and ask him to get at it again in the second question there. But I just think if you go back and watch the play, you know, by the letter of the law, is Matthew Wood, is that a penalty? I mean, I guess maybe, but I mean, it's for that game and the way that it was officiated, for the stakes of the season, and for everything else you'd kind of let go in the game, I mean, it was ridiculous, that call. And look, maybe New Jersey wins the game in regulation anyway. I did think New Jersey was the better team last night, so you have to factor that in. But look, I hear Stamkos there. They probably did miss out on a point. Like, that game probably gets to overtime at least, and that could end up being a massive point at the end of it.
Yeah, and that's all you want is consistency. I mean, I think that's the point, you know. But at that point, you've established, because I'm not, you know, I don't subscribe to, like, you know, whatever, like, this is a huge game, or even, like, necessarily time of game. I mean, if something's obvious, you got to call it. But if you've established how you're calling a game, I mean, it drives me crazy sometimes in basketball where it's like one half is called so tight and the other, and it's like, establish what it is. Here's the ground rules, everybody, and now you understand it, and now you're that's how we're gonna do it. And so if you're letting stuff go like that, I think that's probably what people would prefer, right?
Yeah.
At this time, you're like, whatever, but just be consistent within a game. Within the game, be consistent. And so if you're gonna call something ticky tack, and yeah, then you add to the frustration of you just killed off a penalty. I mean, that strains you anyway, and then you get another one like that, but. That's the whole thing, is like, if you're calling a bunch of stuff, then okay, you can be pissed about it, but at least, like, there's consistency within that. Like, you just, that's what it is. That's the most frustrating, is, and obviously then it helps decide a game, but even if it didn't, it's like, you know, why all of a sudden is that one? And yeah. And he's right. He was reasonable with it. It's like, they call what they see, and you know, we can have the benefit of replay and all that stuff, and it's in the moment. It's not easy at all, but it's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate, and, you know, Brunette didn't really want to get into it after the game last night. You know, he talked about how they left the game up to chance, you know, but he did say, you know, at one point in there, he said, you know, you left the game up to chance, and the refs call what they see. Unfortunately, tonight it probably affected the outcome of the game, is what he said. It's a nice little subtle dig right there at the end from Andrew Brunette, who did not want to get too much into that last night.
He's staying on the right, on the good side of the fine situation. That's fine. You can get those little digs in, and you're okay.
That's right. So the Preds lose last night. Again, Utah lost last night 7-4 to Washington. So you're still only 3 back of that first wild card spot. But L.A. did win, and Seattle picked up a win. So you've got a 1-point cushion now on L.A. for the last wild card spot, and you're dead even in games played. You're going to play them twice down the stretch. So those are obviously going to be two huge games. Those are two games on the road. You're playing, I mean, next week their schedule is stupid. They're going L.A., and then they're going to San Jose, Joe. And then they're coming back to L.A. for a back-to-back between L.A. and Anaheim. It's just the weirdest thing.
I don't understand that at all.
I don't either. But that's the way it's going.
Just do, like, sometimes you see this in NBA, just play two in a row against the team.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. Like, yeah, that's weird. I don't know that I've heard of something quite like that.
Well, everybody that comes in, like San Jose came in and was like, so wait a minute. They're in L.A.? They're coming to us in San Jose, and then they're going back to L.A.? And I was like, yeah. He's like, well, okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, oh, that's tough. Huge, huge games, too.
Yep, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your reaction to the Predators' loss last night against New Jersey, which, by the way, sets up a massive weekend against two very good teams this weekend against Montreal and Tampa Bay. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game. Tee it up with us at the 5th Annual 615 Open coming up May the 28th at Hermitage Golf Course. We are supporting Folds of Honor to help them fund life-changing scholarships for families of America's fallen heroes. You can register now to play or sponsor at 615open.com. We'll be joined by Jim Diamond from the Associated Press here in about 12 minutes. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. A lot of people upset at the officiating last night in the Preds game. We'll take more of your thoughts on that. Joe, it sets up a big weekend here. I mean, look, every game from here on out is going to be big for the Predators. But you've got a couple of Eastern Conference opponents and a couple of really good Eastern Conference opponents at that. Montreal has 90 points on the year. They've got a player in Cole Caulfield who is, you know, I think he's got like 44 goals this year. So a lot of stuff going on. Joe's got his hand up. What we got?
Yeah, I got issues. I'm sorry. I've got you coming at me three times. Something has gone really wrong with the YouTube link. I got to mute myself. I got someone help me figure this out.
Just mute your YouTube, my friend. Just mute the YouTube
stream. I turned off.
I don't know. Rex Road is completely freaking out there on the stream. We'll figure out what's going on that front. By the way, a Vanderbilt fan on the YouTube chat says, Vandy fan and I'm upset, to hell with the Predators. I don't really know what that means. I don't know what the Predators did to Vanderbilt on that front. But Montreal, 90 points. So Montreal has 40, 21, and 10. Cole Caulfield's got 44 goals on the year. And then Tampa Bay. So you're talking about two teams in the Atlantic Division who are at 90 points and 94 points respectively when it comes to Tampa and Montreal. So that's a heck of a challenge for the Predators coming up this weekend. You got Montreal at home, Tampa on the road. So if you're going to get some points this weekend, which you desperately need right now, it's going to involve beating, or I guess at least getting into overtime, against two very good teams. So you look at L.A. and what they've got coming up. Again, L.A. is going to see the Predators twice next week in that weird kind of wonky schedule that we've talked about. L.A. gets the win last night. And look, L.A. is not that good. I heard the guys on DVD talking about this yesterday. They've lost 18 times this year in overtime. 18. Like, it's very strange the way that that played out. So they've got Utah on Saturday. So that's a massive game. So, like, in one way, if you're L.A. or if you're a Predators fan, you know, if L.A. wins that game, well, they're in danger of jumping you at that point. The other hand, if L.A. wins and you win, you're one step closer to that first wild card spot if they could take down Utah. So that's a massive game to pay attention to if you're a Predators fan this weekend, with L.A. and Utah coming up on Saturday night. I mean, look, I would say this. I understand everybody wants wild card one right now, and I understand why, and we've talked about that. I mean, I guess the most important thing at this point is making sure that you're in the playoffs. So whether that's wild card two or wild card one, I would probably be pulling for Utah in this game just to create as much separation between you and LA and you and Seattle and those type of teams as possible. But I will say, You know, if LA goes out there and beats Utah Saturday night, and you can beat Montreal and draw within 1 point of them, and then you know you've got LA twice next week, so if you can get some points in those games, could be sitting pretty for wild card one on that spot. So I just want the world to know that that's a big hockey night coming up tomorrow night. Montreal, Nashville, and then we have LA taking on Utah. Rex Road, have we fixed our issues going on with the audio?
I mean, I don't understand that I turned off YouTube. I didn't just mute it. I said, okay, you're gone. And it's still you were coming at me, and then you were talking at me again 10 seconds later.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That
but
could
yes,
either be a big-time blessing or a curse.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, no offense to your voice, but when it's like you just said something and then you just said it again, it's someone my
well,
age.
The hand came up. I didn't know. It looked like total panic. I didn't know if we were having some sort of medical emergency or something.
That was insane. So anyway, I won't be on the YouTube chat today. So hi, everybody, and bye, everybody. See you later. Good luck on there.
As I was saying, Joe, Montreal, Tampa Bay this weekend, big back-to-back. There's L.A. and Utah coming up on Saturday, too. So if you're a Preds fan, who are you rooting for in that game, L.A. or Utah?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
To me, you're rooting for L.A. because you expect to keep winning and because you want that first wild card. So I think you have to. I mean, at this point, obviously you'll take getting in, right? But you're too close to a much better possibility in the postseason to not make that the priority, aren't you?
I think so, but I think – you know, you've got LA twice next week. A lot of this is probably going to come down to that. Like, how do those games go? If you're Utah, and like if you win Saturday night against Montreal and LA beats Utah in regulation, you're 1 point back of that spot. And you've got one game against Utah coming up. So I guess if you're a Preds fan and you're banking it in the back of your mind that in those all three of those big games between LA twice and Utah once, you're going to get wins there, then yeah, I'd be rooting for LA. And then that would draw you even in terms of like that game in hand you would have made up that you've got on Utah, and all you'd have to do is beat them and you'd pass them at that point. So that's the way you could handle that if you're a Predators fan.
Yeah, that's reasonable. That is reasonable. Bottom line is there's a lot of games left, specifically just at the Preds play, but all around too that are going to be impactful here. I mean, I guess this super condensed schedule, I mean, like there's no breaks, so at least it kind of makes it more exciting, right? I mean, there's just so much hockey that's going to matter in a short period of time.
You got Stamkos, who scored again last night, so that's 36 for him. So he's closing in on 40. Forsberg's point streak ended last night. I think he had 12 points in like his last five games or something crazy like that. So his point streak comes to an end. So can he keep the scoring going when they take on Montreal this weekend? And I believe it's like Mike Fisher and Carrie Underwood bobblehead night, and they're going to be honoring Ryan Johansson in his career before the game. So lots going on tomorrow. Always good to see Joey. He was actually down there last week, Joe, as we were going in the locker room after the game. I think it was Saturday after they played Vegas. And all of a sudden, I just hear someone yelling at me as I'm going in the locker room, and I turn around, and it's just Ryan Johansson standing there.
Nice.
Some things never change.
You guys are vibing.
A lot of vibing going on.
Does he live here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody lives here. Everybody retire. Everybody comes here to retire.
You want
to
know somebody who lives here that I didn't know about until like, I don't know, a couple months ago that I think a lot of Preds fans would find surprising? Ryan Getzlaff, Anaheim
really?
Ducks legend, lives in Nashville. Welcome
if
back
you're
in, Robbie
Ryan,
and Rex Road,
1025
the game.
Wow.
Robbie Stanley,
so
Joe Rex
Johansson
Road,
are both
here
sharing
with you on
a
this
Nashville
Friday
zip
morning.
Code.
Yep. Talking Nashville Predators.
Interesting.
And help us do that. We had
so
to our
phone
line.
I mean, look,
Getzlaff,
I think.
Hyundai.com.
He was certainly
Welcome
not as unlikable for Predators fans.
No.
Perry and Kessler.
He was no Kessler.
He has to put up with
yeah,
me.
He's no, but still.
He's no Peach.
Games as well,
yeah,
so
he was still like
a
guy that,
Jim, how we doing? What's going on?
They tangled with.
Oh, man. This
yeah, there was like a respect level with him.
I couldn't be
that there wasn't with the other two.
But apparently, there's just all these, you know, all these baseball players and all these hockey players that just live here.
Takes care of
even if they didn't play
every night.
Well, any like celebrity.
Also, Jim, the biggest celebrity or like basketball fan that I know.
You know,
how about how much was your heart pounding
where you're like you don't know what their name is? You're like
that
one dude from that one show.
That was a struggle.
That dude lives in Nashville.
I felt like I couldn't breathe at times.
We'll be joined by Jim Diamond from the Associated Press coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators. We got the Rob rant coming up later this hour. TD at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5
again. 2 years there, and I know we would have liked a different result, but it's hard to be mad at them for that kind of effort.
Do you still like Fran McCaffrey?
Oh, I love Fran McCaffrey. How could I not? Is there a chance he can come back to Siena? Is he still a good
fan? I mean, he got fired at Iowa, went to Penn. He might get fired at Penn and go back to Siena.
That'd be awesome.
I think, yeah, we could use him. He did really well there, and I believe, I don't know if it's still true, but his son is dating Caitlin Clark. So little bit of trivia there. Siena connected everything really. So
yeah, Connor, right? Connor and I think they've been together for a long time. I they might be married at this point, right? I don't know.
Who knows? But if he's got that type of connection to Siena, he can't be a bad guy.
That's right. That's right. So, Jim, obviously a tough loss last night for the Preds, and they got a back-to-back coming up this weekend against two really good teams from the East. We played some of Steven Stamkos' comments earlier in the hour. Look, I didn't think the Predators were all that good last night, so, they probably end up losing that game anyway. But maybe they get to overtime. Maybe they pick up a point. When you get to overtime, you never know, so I thought the call on Matt Wood specifically was just really soft at that point in the game. What did you make of kind of the officiating and the calls that went against the Predators in the third period last night?
Yeah, I mean, there's worse, contact in church league basketball where you don't need to, apologize to the other guy or to Jesus for, on that Wood penalty. So the game was pretty, clean, I thought, overall. There weren't a lot of calls or questionable calls that could have gone either way. So at that point in the game, I think you to quote your friend Taylor Swift, let the players play. Especially something that soft in the neutral zone didn't cause a turnover or take away a scoring chance. I think the Svechkov penalty right before it may have looked like a penalty on the ice at the time to the officials. I don't think it was. I think it was just kind of a stick on stick, and Hughes tried to lift his leg and get out of the way and kind of went down. But I'm a big defender of the officials. You know this, Rob. You hear it every game.
I do.
So I do. I don't like those calls at that point in the game.
So how do you view just this run here, Jim, from this team, beyond just the just constant argument in this town of the whole, you have to blow it up and all this stuff, and sick of being in the middle. Still, like this team, I would not have guessed at all that this team was going to do what it's doing now. I know that they've had their late season runs, but I guess how does this one strike you, and maybe even compare it in terms of surprise to some of the other ones we've seen?
It's really surprising considering, it wasn't that long ago that they were the worst team in the NHL, points wise. And I think everyone who looked at them thought they were better than that, maybe not a whole lot better, but to see what they've done in that time is pretty impressive with I'll call it a semi-flawed roster. They're getting contributions from the players that they need contributions from to be successful at this point. And it is improbable that this run and for them to be in this shouting distance of a playoff spot here with what 10 games left. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be, a fun run here for the next 10 games to see what happens. But I don't think a lot of us saw this coming.
Well, and you've got LA that won last night, Seattle won last night, but prior to that, I mean, everybody around them, whether it's LA or Seattle or San Jose, had been losing. I mean, Utah hadn't been playing all that great either. So, the loss last night, if you're the Preds, hurts, but you've got L.A. coming up twice in that weird scheduling thing where they're going from L.A. to San Jose, back to L.A. And then Utah can't really seem to gather much momentum right now. And, Jim, we've talked about this, like the difference between wild card one and wild card two. Some years it doesn't really matter. This year on the surface it seems to matter a lot. How do you describe the difference between Colorado or maybe like, you know, Anaheim in the first round.
Yeah, no, I think to quote Daryl Sutter from many years ago, if you're playing Colorado, it's a waste of 8 days. And it was for the Predators back then when that happened. But yeah, the Pacific is just a mess. It's kind of amusing to see how they're all, you know, performing, underperforming, you know, who could drop out. And if, you know, if they fall out of the top three, they might not even be a wild card. But it's an interesting race. And you mentioned those, you know, I know there are a lot of other moving parts, but those two games at LA in the span of 4 or 5 days, I think are really going to determine who gets the wild card. If the Predators can take both of those by some chance, I think that really, I don't know the math or the fancy stats behind it, but I think that basically gets them in if they can handle those games and everything falls out, you know, the way they have been lately.
Jim, what's Matthew Wood going to be in the next few years for the Nashville Predators?
I like him. I think, what was it, Tuesday night, he comes down on a 2-on-1 with Philip Forsberg and just wires a shot top shelf far side. Like, that takes guts for a 21-year-old to come down with one of the better goal scorers in the NHL, you know, in the last, you know, decade plus, and has the confidence to just take that shot and shoot it. And I like the way that Brunette, Trotz and company kind of eased him in a little bit into the NHL on the wing. He just turned 21, I think, a month ago. So he's still very young, even though he has had 3 years of college. You know, most college hockey players start at 20 or 21. So he's pretty young, but I really like everything I've seen from him, the confidence he shows on the ice, and he just looks like he belongs out there.
So, Jim, you've been around for all of it. I mean, you've seen this franchise go from an expansion team, and no, that's not me calling you old, going from an expansion team to what they are now. They've had two general managers in the history of the franchise. They're about to hire a third here. How do you kind of view where they are right now as a franchise with, you know, Barry Trotz stepping in? I think everybody was excited when he took the job. It's not gone according to plan for the most part since then. And now an opportunity maybe to go hire an outside general manager for the first time in the history of the franchise. So how do you view kind of the next couple of weeks here, you know, playoffs aside, with that decision looming here on the franchise?
Yeah, I mean, I think, let's be realistic, if they make the playoffs, I don't probably think they're going very far. So I think the next general manager hire is going to be enormous, because like you said, like I said before, you know, the roster isn't particularly great from a long-term perspective. They got some aging veterans, all 30 plus, couple of young guys who maybe show some promise, a ton of draft picks, but those take a while. So I'm curious. I feel like they're going outside for this hire. I don't have any insider information, but I think there's going to be probably a much, you know, different perspective, different set of eyes and hands controlling this franchise here. I know they said they'd like to have somebody in place by the draft, but that comes around pretty quickly. So we shall see what that presents. But I feel like there's going to be probably some new blood in the franchise, and there could be some, you know, drastic changes as much as somebody can, you know, with a roster with several players with trade protection and some younger guys who really, you know, Wood aside probably, or Evangelista aside, haven't really proven themselves much on the NHL level so far.
If you were the hire, and by the way, I think you should be a candidate, give me the sweeping, yeah, absolutely. Give me the sweeping synopsis of what you would do. You know, like if I have to sum up, like I'm looking at this team in a couple sentences, this is what needs to be done.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question, and I don't know if it's the easiest thing to do, because like we said before, that there's players with trade protection who don't have to go anywhere if they don't want to. It's very difficult to add, you know, much of experience wise. They do have a good amount of salary cap room here after this season going forward. So I think I've bandied about with Rob in the press box that, you know, hey, take a big swing and try to sign, you know, maybe like a Jason Robertson from Dallas to an offer sheet or something like that, a younger star player, you know, maybe on one of those teams that that is pressed for the salary cap and does have a bunch of talent on there. But they got to do something to kind of shake up where they are, because it's just not happening. You know, they're good enough to, you know, be in the playoff conversation, but you know, not do anything in the playoffs or compete for a cup. So there's a lot that can be done. It's just not easy to do.
Yeah, Jim's been banging the Jason Robertson drum, and he's got me on board.
Like, I don't hate it.
Dallas is going to have a hard time paying everybody, and that would be quite something. Jimmy, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you waking up early, taking time to be with us this morning, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yep, Jim Diamond, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, does an outstanding job covering the Nashville Predators, a longtime veteran. I want to see how many different ways I can call Jim old before this segment ends.
He's venerable. That's another good way. Also, he also is doing a little SEC hoops coverage too.
Yeah, he's versatile.
Well, hoops guy. Hoops guy, Jim Diamond.
Versatile Jim Diamond.
We'll have versatile and venerable.
That's right. Rob Rant coming up next. Teron Davenport with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game. It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on the program. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up here in just a few minutes at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. All right, Joe, my message today, pretty simple. You know, I don't know when this was invented. I probably should have looked this up just to get a nice date on it. But there's this cool invention that's been around for as long as I can remember, Joe. And it has been designed to help pedestrians cross the street without getting run over by vehicles, okay? And they've got this cool little thing called a sign that you can look at, and when there's this bright orange hand up, it means don't walk. And when it turns white, and there's, you know, they're even fancy now, Joe, where they start beeping at you. Like, there's a lot of things going on. That means you can walk across. You can go across and walk across as a pedestrian. What it doesn't mean is, hey, when this – you're on this busy road in the middle of downtown Nashville, and there's a hand up that says don't walk, it doesn't mean just do whatever you want. And boy, man, is that a problem in downtown Nashville. I saw this couple last night coming out of the Preds game, and I park over there by, you know, I guess what used to be the Pinnacle building that is now, you know, the Symphony Place Center over there. So, you know, it's like Third Avenue or whatever it is. You know, plenty of people coming and going in the aftermath of a Predators game. There's this, I mean, it's a bright orange sign. There's just like, don't walk. And this couple just decides, yeah, you know what? In the middle of oncoming traffic, I'm going to go out there and I'm just going to walk anyway. Luckily, the person driving, you know, stopped and didn't run over them and kill them. But it's so much faith that takes place in some of these people that the person driving the car is either one, paying attention, or two, isn't a lunatic that's just going to mow you down. Anyway, I don't for the life of me understand you just like playing the human version of Frogger out there and going out there in the middle of the street when it's there's a green light full of cars coming the other way. And you just decide, yep, now's going to be the time where I just decide to walk because I don't want to wait the extra 35 seconds that it's going to take to navigate across this street safely when I've got the walk sign. And this is a problem downtown. I mean, look, there are plenty of areas downtown that are designed for pedestrians where they either have the right of way or it's just completely blocked off the traffic. I mean, Nashville, for the most part, I think has done a pretty good job with that. But you don't just get to do whatever you want as a pedestrian walking around the streets of Nashville. You do have to follow some traffic laws. And when it says don't walk and there's a green light full of cars coming the other way that's 35 cars deep, you probably ought to hang out on the sidewalk for an extra 30 seconds to make sure you don't end up being launched into an office building somewhere.
Good God, man. You know, it's like, obviously I don't want any of these people to be hurt, but this is where, as stupid as like the jaywalking, you know, ticket sounds, like it's like, I feel like I don't know anyone who's ever gotten a jaywalking ticket. Like, I'd like to see that, you know, like it's like, I'd like to see someone like this actually be tracked down and given a ticket for this, just as like, you know, a consequence that's not, you know, a grisly death. Because yeah, like you are, as a driver, I think we've all been there. You better be paying attention, you know, and if you go to like a college campus or something like that, like you have to know like they are going to test you. Like, they're just going to walk in front of you like that. But in a busy, packed area like downtown with all the cars and all the people around, for the most part, I think people get that stuff. And then the random people who don't, like, they really are in danger. And you got to really pay attention as a driver. It's hard to understand. Like, we all, I'm sure, you know, look, and it's like you have the don't walk, but there's no one. Okay, whatever.
Sure.
Just go.
Yeah.
That's fine. Do it. You know, I mean, I do that all the time. But it's like, if you're that clueless, you're asking so much of other people.
Well,
in that
like,
situation.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know how you have that much faith in other drivers. Like, look, they got a hard enough time when they're trying to follow all the traffic laws, and they just run into stuff all the time around here. So, like, I mean, look, you know this. People are looking down at their phone all the time, and you're just going to be walking through a don't walk sign in the middle of downtown Nashville and trusting that, you know, some kid out there is not looking down at their phone driving, or, you know, I hate to single out the children or the youth of America. It could be an adult, too, out there driving and looking down at their phone, and they just plow right over you. Like, I couldn't believe what I saw last night of they just, I'm going. This is my world. You're all just living in it. I'm going. I don't care. I don't care that there's all these cars coming.
Yeah, and Gunner may be right. Maybe it's liquid fueled. Texture says Darwinism. Let them get hit. No, we don't want that. Someone else says the problem in all of Nashville pedestrians, especially bicyclists, think they own the bicyclist thing is a totally different thing that at times it's like
I got a problem with them too.
Oh man, like when especially if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna go on the road, you know, and it's like busy and it's a high speed limit, man. Yeah, that can also really be dangerous. Philip says he's an Uber
Lance
driver.
Freaking Armstrong out there. Armstrong.
I like Armstrong. Philip says, as an Uber driver, it's one of the most irritating things to deal with. Officers will be standing there watching people jaywalk as well. What makes it worse is when they throw up their middle finger like you're in the wrong. Yeah, it probably is in some cases, especially when you get downtown. Some, you know, they've had some pops probably, right?
Probably, but I mean, good grief. You know, in my younger days, I had some pops. I still had a good enough sense to stop when a car was coming, I thought, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, it's, I don't know. Again, I agree. It's like, you know, you're asking, you know, in any kind of like a big city, are you really going to ask like police officers to like enforce this? I would like to see it from time to time. Has anybody seen anybody get a jaywalking ticket? I mean,
last night's was like, well, there was no police officer around, but last night's I feel like was so egregious that it might have done it. Like if a cop saw it, it might have happened.
Like it's dangerous. Like yeah. It's absolutely dangerous. Trevor did research for you, by the way. The first pedestrian crossing signal was December 1868 in London.
Really?
So horses, hold up.
Okay, so the modern pedestrian crosswalk signal was standardized in the early 1970s, according to the research that Trevor has done. That's a long time to get used to this new phenomenon, Joe.
Yeah, you'd think it is. Sometimes I think people are just like, yeah, whatever, we can do whatever we want. Or are they just like, I don't know.
You know what the thing about that is? It only takes being wrong one time in that situation, and then that's it. That's all right. She wrote.
Yeah, that's not one you want to be wrong about. But again, that's where maybe you'll get popped for like $100. What the heck is a jaywalking ticket cost?
Couldn't tell
I have
you.
No idea. I mean, as far as I know, it might be $200. I don't know. It'd be good to see someone, you know, someone get one of those every once in a while. I don't know. Would that help?
So just pay attention out there. That's my message. Pay attention to the signs. And, you know, maybe don't walk out in the street when 40 cars are coming down the road. That's my message to the city of Nashville today. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.